This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Good to see you this morning. If you watched the football last night, I hope you had a good game. I was hoping Florida was going to pull it out against Georgia and all that kind of stuff, but here we are. Well, all my football people now, everybody's got to, Well, listen, before we get started this morning, just a couple of things I want to share with you. One, if this is your first time here, no, I don't normally just talk about football all Sunday morning or anything like that. But we are glad you're here. Hope that you feel welcome this morning. Hope you got a chance to connect with some people on your way in. I always tell people, if this is your first time here, a couple of things. There's a connect card in front of you. In the seat back pocket in front of you. And if you would like to connect with us, there's a couple of ways you could do that. One of them is you could just fill out that card and just let us know you were here. And there's black boxes on your way out where we put our offering. That could just be your offering this morning. You could say, hey, glad I was here. Wanted you to know I was here. Thank you. We would love that. If you would like to connect a little more personally, there's a tent outside. You could bring it to the tent and get a chance to connect with some people, get some more information. We would love to do that. If you don't want to do any of the above, you're welcome to be here this morning, and I hopefully you feel safe and welcome and cared for this morning. Other thing I want to bring up is Operation Christmas Child. You know, it's a very short window. The boxes are out there. Let me encourage you, if you would like to be part of Operation Christmas Child, this is a great opportunity to share with people all over the world. That little box goes out also with some teaching and some instruction, enrolling kids in programs where they're getting fed later, things like that. So there's a lot that goes into that little box. When you give that little box, it's a whole lot more than that. And, you know, it may be the only connection to Jesus that some kids ever get, right? And so that little box means the world. So if you would like to take and fill a box and bring it back in a couple of weeks here, it really is just a short window of time to do that. And so let me encourage you, make sure and grab a box. Some people, rather than grabbing our folding boxes that say Operation Christmas Child on them, like to buy one of the plastic boxes and send that, fill that. That's always a great option. If you take a look online, one of the things you find out is that the kids usually will keep the shoebox, whether it's a plastic one or a cardboard one, because it becomes like significant to the rest of their life of having something that's their own to keep their prized possessions in. And so, like, when you have nothing, it's amazing how much a shoebox can mean, right? So anyhow, just to encourage you to be a part of that and help us get those back in 2 weeks. So, all right. Well, this morning, as you well know, it's Baptism Sunday. Obviously, the baptismal's up here. You know, over the years, there have been many, many books written on baptism. I can remember when I was in school, one of the required textbooks was just called Baptism. And it was a book about this thick. And it was all about the history of baptism and the debates about it in the Anglican Church in the late 1960s, early 1970s, that went into a commission and a study on baptism. And it was just like all of this theology wrapped around baptism. Big book, really sluggish, slow to read through, boring. It really got into the whole thing about what's the proper mode, what's the manner of it, what's the meaning of baptism, why do we do this, should we still do this way, should we do it differently today, and in it was kind of this question of, what is the value of baptism in light of grace, where salvation is a free gift apart from works? And so today, what I want to do, just in a very brief way, is I'm going to look at one of the largest, most significant texts on baptism in the New Testament, unpack the significance and meaning of it. It is not meant to be exhaustive. I'm just pointing out to you why we do what we do. And in that, you know, we'll address some of the things about mode, the value of water baptism, specifically as a command of Jesus, but also as more than just practice of something ritualistic, and give you a little historical background and things like that. But here's the thing. Ultimately, I'm going to tell you what we do at Vine Life and why we do it, but I want to speak to that in a way so that we do not just cast dispersion on the rest of the Christian church who may or may not do it exactly as we do it, because I don't think that was ever supposed to be the point of us just kind of bickering about that and looking at just the weight of history. I think there's so many good things to say. Anyhow, we're going to take a look today. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. So if you're using a phone or tablet, let me ask you to set that to silent for the sake of those around you. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version, but please follow along in whatever translation you have. One in your lap is the one you're reading. That's my favorite translation today just because you're reading it. Let's take a look. Romans 6, beginning verse 1, and we read these words. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And if we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. And now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. And for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Blessed be the reading of God's holy word. So the Apostle Paul writing here in Romans, water baptism is described by the Apostle Paul first and foremost as about having died to self and to sin and then living a new life in Christ, just as Christ lived. So when you and I, when we get baptized, in essence what I'm saying is that the old man, with all of its sinful desires, that I put that to death. I've decided on a new life, just as Jesus died on the cross and then was buried in the grave. So then we're buried in a grave, a watery grave of baptism. And I come out of that grave to live differently by the power of the resurrection power at work in me. In fact, I live enough differently that others would conclude that the old man, the old me, is dead, and that what is now living in me, that what they see alive in me is Christ in me. I live like Jesus lived to the degree that others see Christ living in me. That's what baptism is supposed to be. There's supposed to be a shift. There's supposed to be a moment in time when people look at that and they go, wow, it looks like something's happened. You know, not just that somebody got wet or, you know, but that something really, truly has shifted in their life. It's a hefty degree of change. It's a moment in time that captures the imagination of those who are on the outside looking in. I get a lot of questions about baptism just simply because, you know, us being not part of, you know, some large denomination that has some long historical things that they can just look it up online kind of thing. And so people all the time are asking us questions, asking me in particular, what we believe about baptism, what we teach about baptism. Some of those questions have to do with mode, you know. Do we baptize by immersion or sprinkling or pouring? Others want to know, you know, well, do you consider it necessary for salvation, or do you believe in salvation by grace alone through faith? Do you think that baptism is necessary? And then just the list kind of goes on, and I end up answering these questions a lot. We even publish little papers on it and stuff, but you know, it doesn't matter. People are just different moments of conversation. Sometimes they'll read it, still want to engage in some ways about some conversations over those things. And I'll just be kind of honest with you. There's a part of me that just kind of doesn't like the conversation a lot of times. And the reason I don't like the conversation is I'm not worried about my answer, but I am worried about litmus tests that, you know, I don't... that there's an invisible litmus test often that I don't know, like what's going on in people's heads and minds, what they're thinking, deciding whether or not you belong to Jesus or not based on one conversation about baptism. That, to me, is a kind of a sad state of affairs in the church, that something that was meant to be so unifying for the body, just like communion, and one of the realities is churches sometimes getting big disagreements over communion, you know. Is it the literal body and blood? Is it the figurative body and blood? Is it just a memorial? Is Christ present? Is Christ not present? Do you allow people to partake if they're not members of your church? You know, and I think, wow, what a this beautiful picture that both, have you noticed, like both of these things are connected with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so kind of at the core of it, the emphasis is really not you, but you responding to Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus is supposed to be the center of that whole thing. And yet sometimes we start qualifying one another over things, litmus tests. And here's the thing, I'm not worried about my answers, but I am worried that sometimes we kind of miss the point, relegate and reduce baptism some kind of checklist, and that makes me sad because it's supposed to be beautiful, unifying, and meaningful, not divisive or formulaic. The Apostle Paul was really not teaching about baptism here in Romans. Yes, it's baptisms here, but really that wasn't the main point. The main point he was addressing, actually, throughout the book of Romans, is the division that was in the church in Rome, particularly the division between Jew and Greek, and kind of the way they viewed one another. There was a little bit of an adversarial kind of thing, trying to reconcile all the cultural and theological implications of doing life together. And he was asking that divided church what the point of their baptism was really about in relationship to ongoing sin. And he asked the question, how could you live in sin if you've died to yourself and begun a new life in Christ? His presupposition was that when a person was baptized, that they had died to their old way of life, buried in waters of baptism, raised to new life, just like Jesus. The resurrection power had been demonstrated, and that there was something significantly, fundamentally shifted in their life for the whole world to see. I want to begin in that place without being overly technical. As I said, in the past few months, I felt the need to say a lot about church tradition and a lot about dogma, because oftentimes, as we've been going like through the Gospel of Matthew, when we went through the Gospel of John, went through the Gospel of Mark, back to back, I've been kind of intentionally pointing us to something, that there is this conversation between Jesus and the people of God, if you will, the church of the day, the synagogue, the rabbis, the leaders, and this tension between in God's people of being hung up on tradition and their own theological interpretation. And Jesus repeatedly will say, "You've heard it said, but I say to you," and then he would quote, typically, you know, one of the prophets, or more often, his most quoted book, he would quote Deuteronomy. And he would just point them back to the simplicity of what the word said, and kind of, you know, go after the traditions and the dogma where things have been really kind of askew, and people were battling over opinions rather than actually just letting the word speak. So when people are asking about baptism, who needs to be baptized? Honestly, this is one of my go-to verses, because it seems to me that baptism here is all about dying to self and living for Christ. And in a moment, we're going to have some people who are going, we're going to share some videos, and people are going to be making a statement, and they're going to get baptized. And the real functional point is not for you to, like, go through the theology of whatever they say or whatever else. It's this moment that they're trying to share with the body, this sense of like, I have decided to follow Jesus. And I know that that includes just a fundamental shift of who I am, how my life is organized, what I decide about what is good and right and valuable or not valuable, even how I would plan my calendar from there out. That literally my life, I would die to my old way of life, and then I would reorient my life around the personhood, around the values, around the ideas that are inherent to who Jesus is, that his life would be expressed through me. So whether I'm a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, that Jesus would still be alive in me, and that would orient the way that I think about everything I come encounter with in life. It's such a huge shift. So to be honest, when people ask me, as they did leading up to this, should I be baptized? And the question I proposed just last week, a couple of weeks ago, I would propose again is, are you prepared to die to self? Like that, to me, if you can't have the conversation, then you're not really ready. If there's no intent, you're probably not ready. It's not a permission thing, it's a question of, do I really want my life to change like that? Over the years, you know, I have never stopped anyone from getting baptized except a couple of my own children. And in that case, it's because I knew the backstory, right? I knew it was, you know, either they were hung up over, like, communion, and like they wanted to know when they got the juice and the cracker, like when do they get the snack, you know, I knew that's where they were. Or I had, you know, one that it was just kind of trying to get out of trouble with me, you know, I knew it in the moment, and so I, you know, admonished them to wait and to pray about that, and to reflect specifically over this verse. What does it mean that you would be dying to yourself? But I've never stopped anyone otherwise because, listen, last thing I want to do is put a roadblock in someone's way to be a deterrent to their future obedience. But my first thought is, like, what does it mean for you and I to be baptized? Truly. It's a time of great celebration and everything else, but Really, it comes down to a simple matter of obedience, right? The reason we get baptized, whether we understand all the great theology or anything else, that there's this ultimate just sense of that, I just want to do what Jesus said. I think that's enough, really. And so that's why I would never made any effort to stop anyone other than those instances I just gave you. Moreover, there's nothing stopping someone from being baptized. In fact, there in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, there are times where people just say, look, here's water, what would hinder me from being baptized? And they were told that as long as they believed that Jesus was Lord, that they could. And so it was enough. It was enough. But as I look at the text, I just can't help but see a couple of connection points. If baptism is a burial, then immersion baptism is the best snapshot of being buried with Christ. Even the word baptism in Greek, baptizo, it sounds like baptism, right? And we just transliterate it. We don't actually translate it. If we were translating it, it would be immersion. In the Iliad and the Odyssey, they would baptizo a ship. They would sink a ship. They didn't sprinkle it with water, rantizo. They didn't pour water over it, kio. They sunk it. They baptizoed it. And so it just, if we actually would translate it, it would just simply come out that way. And over the years, we have not translated it in most translations. We've transliterated it to avoid controversy, because churches, and in particular in the time of King James, when it was translated into English for the first time, they were practicing sprinkling primarily. Although if you go to England and you go into some of their oldest cathedrals, you will find at the back of the church a baptismal where they could move a rock and you would walk down one side and you would get baptized and you would walk up a different side. And so it was to symbolize that you entered this way and you came out a different way. And they would have the water, they would move the rock because the water would fill in and it would be rushing water because they wanted it to be living water as part of the symbolism and everything. And so it was practiced that way quite often back then. I would imagine in England, part of the reason you would move to sprinkling is, have you ever been to England in the wintertime with no heat? Do they ever turn the heat on, actually, in England? I'm sorry, I digress. But my point just simply being, listen, it is probably the simplest picture I can think of. Having said that, let me say this. I know folks who were sprinkled as infants who grew up to be faithful followers of Jesus and who had clearly died to themselves along the way. So why would I fight with somebody about a mode when at the heart of it is the intention to obey? And so I just don't think it's a good argument to have with people. I look at some of the great writers and theologians of church history, whether Martin Luther or Calvin or anybody, you could just start to name a few people throughout history and that didn't exactly see it the same way and clearly lived their lives for Jesus. So we tend to let the individual wrestle with that text as a church because I'm neither your Savior nor your judge. But at the same time, when I teach about it, I do put the emphasis on being buried in a watery grave and raising to new life, and all the symbolism seems to be there. The second most common question I get all the time is it necessary for salvation? Can I just tell you why I think that's really the wrong question? See, first, it's a command of Jesus. Jesus said, go and make disciples and then baptize them. It's a historical fact. The church did water baptism and no one suggested otherwise until late in church history. And so my response is, why would someone avoid a direct command? Either command, right? why would we not make disciples when it's a direct command? Why would we not baptize when it's a direct command? See, my question is why would we try to avoid that? Let me ask you a different question. Why would a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ refuse to obey his command? Can you refuse to obey Jesus, like openly, defiantly refuse, and then still be right with him? I mean, I understand the forgiveness of sins, but I don't know, there's something that I just have this image in my head of somebody standing up before him. Well, Lord, there's this one passage where the sinner on the cross wasn't baptized. I know that all the rest of them in Acts were baptized, but I have this conflict. I've got this one verse over here and these other verses, and I think if I didn't refuse to be baptized, I wouldn't be saved by grace. That's really what you want to tell Jesus. I just ignored all these other examples because of the one. It just doesn't really make sense. And so I think that when we get into those debates, what we're actually dealing with is philosophy and hermeneutics, but we're not really talking about baptism anymore. We're not really talking about obedience. We're really not talking about why would you do it? I would think you would do it just simply because it's the picture that most often comes alive in the Scriptures. See, I know what they're asking is, do you believe in salvation by faith alone? What they want to know is, do I think that baptism saves us? Let me be clear. Only Jesus can save you. Likewise, I don't think a prayer that isn't in the Bible can save you either. Because the sinner's prayer is not anywhere in the New Testament. So a prayer doesn't save you, baptism doesn't save you, Jesus saves you. So since there's no sinner's prayer recorded in the Bible, the teaching on the sinner's prayer is less than 200 years old in terms of practice, the first recorded evidence of it. Let me tell you what we do. I still pray with people to receive Christ, and then to baptize them is the first act of obedience. Kind of crazy. It's just like we could just do both and not fight about it. Hello? Because the trust is in Jesus to save. I cannot prove that Jesus or the apostles prayed anything like a sinner's prayer with anyone. I don't think anyone should find it objectionable when you look at the prayer. I don't see why we spend all our energy on that. So people get baptized out of obedience for the love of Jesus because they love Jesus and they want to keep his commands. Shouldn't that be enough? Yes. Here's the thing. The real measure of someone belonging to Christ is not whether they prayed a prayer or even got baptized, but wanting to put their old life to death and live like Jesus. And if that's what you want to do, I think that's a great reason to be baptized. If that's not what you want to do and it's just kind of a thing of checking boxes, I would say there's no such thing as eternal life insurance. So, the real question is, are you going to live for Jesus? That's the real question. And I'm going to say to our team that needs to get kids ready that are getting baptized, go ahead and bring the kids on in. But the real question is are you going to live for him, right? Do the people around you, will they see the evidence that you've died to your old life? Has your life been changed? If your life has not been changed, I would say that there's a lot of questions to ask yourself. Why be baptized at that moment? Likewise, If you were baptized once upon a time, a long time ago, right? And so some people ask the question, they watch baptisms up here, and they see people making their commitments, and they go, man, I wasn't baptized like that. I was sprinkled, or I had it poured on me, or I've had several people say, well, I did get immersed, but I really, like, you know, all my friends were doing it, and so I did it, and there was a girl I liked. I've heard that once more times. I was at camp. The pretty girl got baptized. I wanted to know the pretty girl, and so I got baptized. I was like, you know, God bless you for your honesty. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it was invalid. I'm just simply, if you want to make a public stand for Jesus, now that you are following him on your own, and maybe you married the pretty girl, you don't even know what happened to the pretty girl, but you know that you're walking for Jesus now. I would say it's valid, right, to make a declaration of your faith. But here's the thing I would tell you. I can run through all the theology about baptism and rebaptism. We could have all kinds of discussions about modes and all that kind of stuff. But in the final moment, like the ultimate question I would ask you is, in your relationship with Jesus, if you've come to a place where you authentically want to be his disciple, and then you want to make a public statement of that faith, can I just tell you, like, as you stand before the Lord as your only judge, I don't think he's going to be displeased with you if the first one took and you did it again. Like, I don't think he's going to go, oh, now you're out. You know, that first one took and then you just wanted to be obedient, and I just, like, I'm not having any of this double obedience stuff. Can I just simply say to you, like, please be free in your relationship to the Lord. So, baptized as a kid, whatever, church membership that didn't, you know, was required or whatever. Like, I would say to you today, if you're following Jesus and you have not been baptized as a statement of your faith and a declaration that you've died to self and are living for Christ, I would say that the waters are open to you, and you didn't have a class, and you don't have a cool video up there, but we'll figure it out. Like, here's the ultimate thing I would say to you is, what would hinder you? Is it the wrong clothes? I don't know, dying to self, didn't have the right change of clothes today, what would hinder you? What would hinder you? If you're here this morning and you've been thinking about it for a while, maybe that this is a moment where you would say, you know, I keep putting it off. I keep saying I'm going to do it and I haven't done it. I would open the invitation to you as well, that there's no time like the present to drive that, you know, stake in the ground, to draw the line in the sand, whatever you want to call it, and say, there's no going back. I have decided. And I would say this morning, as you are watching the videos and people are getting baptized, like, that this would be a moment, if you're a follower of Christ, that regardless of how you were taught in your upbringing, whether you grew up Roman Catholic or Church of Christ or Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or whatever, however you grew up, and maybe this looks a little different to you, that you would put your theological reservations aside for a moment, and you would look at the decisions of persons to obey Jesus and to put on new life, and that you would, with whole heart and great joy, celebrate the fact that they have decided to follow Jesus. No going back. Amen? I hope this is a moment of great celebration for us all. To all of our guests this morning, I'm excited that you're here. I would say to you, we don't do baptism for membership at Vine Life. It's about being obedient to Jesus. And so if you're not a member here, but you feel led, we'll work it out for you too. Just don't worry about it. You're not being baptized into vine life. You're being baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so that's transferable everywhere. So, all right? All right. Let's do it.
All right. Everybody good? All right, one of the coolest things that we get to do here is baptize people, and so we're going to start with our kids. Actually, we're going to start with my kid. this is just an honor. As a dad, I get to do this, but when our people come up, when we bring them back out of the water, this is a celebration. This is an amazing celebration, and so what we're going to do is we're going to cheer, we're going to shout. Man, this is like a lifelong commitment. This is for eternity. And what an amazing opportunity that we get to participate in this with our kids, with our adults that are making the decision today to follow Christ. All right? Deal? Yeah. All right. Cool, cool. We've been leading up to this whole service, and we're super excited about what God is doing in the lives of our people getting baptized today and those who are going to choose to be baptized as well. So, all right. We have a video to start out with. All right. It is my honor to introduce you to my son, Sawyer, who is making the decision to be baptized. And so I'm just going to ask him a very simple question, which I hope he answers yes, and we'll go from there. So, Sawyer, do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he's your Lord and Savior, that because he died on the cross and rose, that you're going to spend eternity with him?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Are you ready? Sawyer, because of your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus. Next, I'm going to introduce Gabe to you. Gabe is going to baptize his kiddos, too.
Hey, guys. Let's climb in here. You know, I was reading a passage this morning, just Paul writing to the Colossians and saying, hey, we've heard about your faith, and we've continued to pray for you, praying that God's will be revealed to you and that the Spirit will lead you in his will in your life. And I just ask that you guys, in the next coming days and weeks, we just pray for these children, pray for these, all of us who are being baptized, just pray for the children's ministry, for Tara, for, you know, this is our future. And I just, that you guys would continue to pray that they have God's will in their life and that it's revealed to them. So, come on, buddy, let's climb in here. You excited? Yeah? means. Isaiah, do you believe that Jesus died and that he rose again and that you are saved? Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
All right, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Woo!
Come on, buddy. Let's climb in. All right, Judah. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and he rose again and that you will be with him someday?
Yes, I do.
All right. Are you ready for this? All right. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
You're in the water.
I ask Jesus into my heart when I was 7, and I was baptized as a child, but I also
the bottom. You had it in the water.
So, and my daughter said she wanted to.
It's even more amazing when a family comes together and does this. What an amazing celebration. So I want to introduce you guys to Harmony. Harmony, I'm going to ask you a question, and then we're going to baptize you. Is that okay? All right. Harmony, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died for your sins, and that he rose again, and that you're going to spend eternity with him?
Yes.
Awesome. Are you ready? All right. Harmony, because of your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus Christ.
All right, Dad, come on up. Please welcome Paul Hafer to the baptismal. No swimming this time, okay?
All right, awesome. All right. Same thing. You just watched your daughter get baptized. It's amazing, and now you get to do the same. So, Paul, I'm just going to ask you this question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? He rose again. You're going to spend eternity with him in heaven?
Yes, I do.
Amazing. All right. Are you ready? All right. Paul, because of your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus Christ.
Years ago.
Please welcome Miss Tammy Kaufman.
We tried to warm it up. I'm sorry. Tammy, I was going to ask you the same question I've been asking, and we'll go on from there. So, Tammy, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and that he died on the cross, he rose again, and that you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven?
Absolutely.
Amazing. All right. Are you ready? Yep. All right. Tammy, because of your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism, and raised to new life in Jesus Christ.
Please welcome Miss Diane Tierney.
All right. A little cold, right? I'm sorry. We really did. We had heaters in here and everything. All right. Diane, I'm just going to ask you this question, just that you would profess to the church. So, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross, he rose again, that you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven?
Yes, I do.
Amazing. Love it. Yes. All right. Diane, because of your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism, and raised to new life in Jesus Christ.
All right, that is the last of our videos. The next person that has decided to declare Jesus is Lord is Miss Kate Burrows. So being in front of a camera is not very easy. It's definitely not one of my favorite things. But we're really glad that she decided to continue and do this publicly.
All right, Kate, I'm going to make this really easy for you, other than the cold water. I'm just going to ask you this question, and then we'll baptize you. Kate, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that he died on the cross, that he rose again, and that you will spend eternity with him in heaven forever?
Yes, I do.
That's a good. All right. So, Kate, because of your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism, and raised to new life in Jesus Christ.
We have someone is joining us spontaneously. yourself ready.
All right. Well, we have a decision tonight or this morning to be baptized, and name is okay. So we're gonna. She's just getting ready here for a moment. While she's getting ready, let me simply say, don't think in terms of the time or worried about whatever. That's why we decided to have a fellowship meal, so nobody would be waiting hungry, right? Besides the fact that just it's a time to celebrate. But if she comes, like, I would extend the invitation to you. If today's the day that the Lord has spoken to you, why would you not respond to his invitation? And so,
all right. I want to introduce you guys to Kelly. Kelly has decided to be baptized today, which is this is what we're all about. Yes. So, all right. Kelly, I'm going to ask you the same question I've asked everybody. And I want to ask you this, that do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, and that you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven?
I do.
Good. All right. Kelly, because of your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus Christ. All right, I want to give a few minutes or a little moment to, if anybody else would like to come and be baptized, you are welcome. This is your time. This is your moment. Oh, man, it's John. Nice. Yeah, jump in. This is John. This is one of our youth, and I'm really excited about this today. Dad, do you want to baptize him?
Yes.
Good to go? All right. All right. One of the cool things, if you are discipling somebody, you're the parent, you're a grandparent, you're the friend, and you've discipled somebody, man, we believe this is your opportunity to baptize that person. And so you want to jump in real fast.
All right. I want to reiterate that. Like, when it says you go and make disciples, right? It doesn't say pastor go and make disciples. You go. And so if you go and make the disciple, you baptize them. That's the biblical picture. And so if there's someone here that you have been walking with and they you would like to do that together for you baptizing them, like by all means, that's the biblical picture. We want to continue that. So, all right, go ahead.
All right, just want to introduce you guys to John. John has been coming to our youth for quite a while, so this is an exciting moment. And so, John, I'm going to ask you the same question we've been asking everybody. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, and that you're going to spend eternity with him forever?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, Dad's going to baptize you right now. We baptize you because of your profession of faith in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus Christ.
Chris, are you ready to publicly display your belief in Christ and symbolize the death of your own self and to rise and to walk with him all the days of your life?
I do.
All right, Chris. We baptize you because of your profession of faith. We're going to baptize you right now in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus Christ. All right, I want to introduce you guys to JJ. And today he has chosen to be baptized. Are you ready? Okay, I want to ask you this question really quick. I'm going to jump in the tub with you here because it's easier to. There you go. All right. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That he died on the cross, he rose again, and you spend eternity with him in heaven forever and ever?
Yes, I do.
That is exciting. All right? All right, I'm going to have you sit down with your feet in front. Because of your profession and faith, JJ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Guys, I want to introduce you guys to Zach. This is her first time coming to Vine Life, so this is an amazing decision, right? Wow. All right. Zach, welcome. Welcome to the family. And we thank you for making the decision today. And so I'm just going to ask you this question before I baptize you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, and that you will spend eternity with him in heaven forever?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Zach, because of your profession and faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus Christ.
Logan to Christ when he was less than a year old. Our former pastor is here, and we hope that one day he would decide for himself. So I'm proud of him and happy for him. Amen.
All right. Logan, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross and rose again, and that you're going to spend eternity with him forever?
I do.
All right. Because of your profession and faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism and raised to new life in Jesus Christ.
This is Shelly Hill, and she's part of our deaf ministry, and she was she was baptized as an infant, and then later she was rebaptized because she was forced to for church membership, but she's decided to do it today because she wants to follow Jesus.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question, and then we'll baptize you.
Do you want me?
Yeah, if, would you like to?
It's cold.
Shelley, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, and that you will live, spend eternity with him in heaven?
Yes, I believe it!
Shelley, because of your profession and faith, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in baptism, and raised to new life in Jesus Christ. All right. Come on.
Oh, this is such a bad idea.
No, it's not. It's a wonderful idea.
Well, as you all know, because I've said it a bunch of times, I teach. I'm a teacher. Middle school Bible, and this is one of my former students who is now in high school, and she said to me in middle school, if I ever get baptized, Mr. Kaler, I want you to do it. I said, let's do it. And so here we are now. We go to church together. We serve in kids ministry together. And I am so, look at me, shaking. My Lord, I speak in front of you people all the time, and I'm shaking like a leaf. I am so honored and blessed. This is what it's all about, is just pouring our lives out in love and goodness and kindness and having people say, we want to be like you, and you're not like me. You need to be like Jesus. I'm just following Jesus. Let's follow together. So, Lisa, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and sacrificed himself in order to bring you into relationship with your Creator unto salvation, unto eternal life? Do you believe this? Do you profess this?
Yes.
Thank you.
In here, girl.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, buried in baptism, raised to new life.
What a celebration. Yes. I lost count.
That's why we have a video camera. But we'll find more towels. So, like, here's the thing. I just want to take a moment of just silence, if you will, you know, just invite the Holy Spirit. If there's anybody that is just thinking, praying, deciding, like, we'll gladly wait. It's just the biggest moment of your entire life. So So let's take a moment and just go before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together, to be assembled together, to rejoice together, to celebrate those who have believed you and have desired to make a statement before everyone here, friends, family, guests, people yet to be family and friends. And so this morning, we just want to invite your Holy Spirit to move here among us. Not that you need our permission, but we just submit ourselves to you. Come, Holy Spirit of God. And if there's any unfinished business this morning in and amongst us, would you stir us up with bravery and commitment? We just welcome you. Come and have your way. Amen. I would say to you still, I don't think the water's going to get any colder. So we're going to have a time of fellowship, enjoy a meal together. And in that time, should you have more time to think, and that decision time leads you to act, like, we'll just gather who's here and come back in and celebrate with you, okay? So there's no, here's the other part. This is our official baptism day. But if over the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months, 12, like, we don't have to have official baptism day for you to get baptized. I baptize a lot of people in pools, in bathtubs, in rivers, in prisons, oceans. Yeah, so like, don't let a day be the decider. Let the only deciding factor really be, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Let's pray for the meal, and then we'll give us, you know, a few minutes. If you want to help or whatever, we're gonna have the food in the kitchen. We've got tables spread out. We need to put up some tables in the lobby area. If you'd like to help with that, love for you too. And kids are still in kids' church. So if you got kids in kids' church, please get them first for the sake of our kids' church workers, okay? So, let's pray. So, Father God, we thank you for just a beautiful morning and just the sense of anticipation that you are by no means done among us, that you are adding to your kingdom day by day. And our prayer is that more and more of that might be true, that we would be instruments of your kingdom for inviting, for building bridges, for living daily a new life that would in itself be an invitation to those around us, that we would have the courage to speak truth and hope and life. And so we pray that as we bring this assembly to a close, that it would just be the beginning. Father, as we gather to celebrate and enjoy some food together in that time of celebration, we pray your blessing on the food. We pray your blessing on those who provided and prepared. And ultimately, Lord, that you would continue to knit us together, that we might love one another so that the world might know that you've come. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week, Lord willing.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to the Empowered Word.